Good morning.
Listen to Mark and Neanderthal when you get to work with the free KSLX app. 100.7 KSLX.
By the way, you probably noticed I'm wearing a Led Zeppelin shirt today.
I did notice that.
All right, quick story. When I came in this morning, Mateo, who's one of the young kids who works here, is working overnight at one of the other stations.
Yeah, he's also one of our street team guys. You've seen him out there. Yeah. Super nice guy.
And he goes, oh, cool Led Zeppelin shirt. And I was like, thanks. He goes, that's not as legit as the Led Zeppelin. Or he goes, I'll bet that's a lot more legitimate than the Led Zeppelin shirt I have. And he was thinking that I had gotten this at like a concert in the 70s or something. And I said, this is not all that legitimate. I probably got this at the same place you got yours. And at the same time, we both said, Target? And that was the answer, yeah. If you've ever seen these, they are very, very available at
yes.
Target. They have that section of T-shirts, of vintage T-shirts, they call it.
There's one, and it's a famous meme that goes around on Facebook, and I really, really want this one. It's a, it says Led Zeppelin on the T-shirt, but it's a picture of Kiss.
That's awesome.
It's a misprint of some sort, or somebody's amazing Photoshop job.
Yeah,
but it's in like a Walmart or something like that, and it's hanging on the rack, and it's of course the meme is how could anybody possibly make this mistake? I don't know that they did.
Right, that's easy to do if you want to mess with your computer.
But if that's a real thing, I want it in a double X.
Yeah,
so badly.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
I you know, this T-shirt is, you know, a couple of years old, I think. I don't have anything from the 70s, I think, as far as clothing goes.
All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never seen you wear anything like, where you'd be like, yeah, I got this at the Allman Brothers show in, like, 1979.
Yeah, no. Oldest piece of clothing I have is probably a Sons sweatshirt that dates back to probably 1990.
That's still pretty old.
Yeah. And it's held up really well.
All right. Unlike the Suns, who are in the playoffs this year.
Yeah. Don't forget that. You're used to knocking them, but they're going to, you know, they're doing great this year. They start up on Sunday. Time for our inner music nerds to come out.
We actually had a summit here in the studio as to whether or not we should actually talk about this guy. And then we went down the list of how many different songs he played on, and we thought, well, how can we not mention it? Because when somebody this notable, who is actually unnotable, passes, you should note it.
You don't know his name, but you know his work. Now, in Lynyrd Skynyrd's Sweet Home Alabama, they mentioned the Swampers from Muscle Shoals. This guy was one of those guys. He was one of the session musicians in this studio in Alabama that everybody used to go to.
Right.
Especially back in the 60s. It was ridiculous. Guy's name is Roger Hawkins. He was the drummer for so many tracks. He just died at age 75.
And here's one of the things. A lot of these times, these guys, like the Muscle Shoals guys, and what's the guys out there in L.A., the guys that were...
The Wrecking Crew?
The Wrecking Crew.
Yeah.
These guys were called in by record companies to fix or make records sound better so that the people that are currently ensconced in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will look good. There are a lot of people who are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that rode in there on the backs of guys like this.
Yeah, it's very true. Like Roger Hawkins, for instance, if you go back to 1966, a number one hit from Percy Sledge.
When a man loves a woman.
He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The drummer isn't.
Right.
How's that work out?
So, you know, that's it. Again, I love the drumming in that song.
Yeah, fantastic.
You don't always think about the drumming, but there are some songs where you do. Wilson Pickett is also in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mustang Sally.
Yeah, who's the drummer on this record?
Same guy, Roger Hawkins.
Yeah.
Guess you better slow your Mustang.
And, of course, you know...
That's a great groove right there. That's
yeah.
a, you know, he's in a groove. In fact, that guy, Roger Hawkins, is on a couple of Wilson Pickett tunes. This is one that was not as big a hit, but we all know it.
Yeah.
It's in that drums, man.
Land of a Thousand Dances. Great song. Same guy on drums.
You still hear this at every college basketball game and football game in the world.
Yep. All right. And another.
By the way, this is Cool Jerk.
Oh, yeah. It's also good. Another very, very well-known song that you still hear was by a singer that they're featuring. Like, there's all kinds of biopics or biopics coming out about her. There was just a series about her on one of the channels. Aretha Franklin. You know this song.
What you want?
Yeah, this guy's a very important drummer.
Roger Hawkins is playing drums on this also.
He's on almost as many hit songs as Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous how many records this guy has done. Now, you say to yourself, well, he hasn't been on anything recently. Those are all the old, you know, 60s, 50s, and 60s tracks, right? Wrong. Yep, he's that drummer.
Yeah, same guy. Yep. He's on this song also.
Just take those old records on the shelf.
Yeah.
I said listen to
Roger Hawkins is his name.
Yeah,
He's pretty big. He's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, we were talking to... He doesn't get any money off these songs anymore. You know, he didn't get them because he wasn't a writer of them and he didn't get points in them. He was a salaried musician. He sat in a studio all day. That was his office. He would bring his drumsticks in at 9 and leave at 5.
They got what they call union scale. You know, yeah. the joke in the Blues Brothers movies where he goes, hey, you guys got your union cards? That's literally what it was. Yeah. It was these guys were studio musicians who sat in there and they said, okay, who are you recording for today? It could have been Carole King. It could have been Bob Seger. It could have been Wilson Pickett. It could have been Andy Gibb. It doesn't matter. It could have been anybody that day.
It could have been Pat Boone. That was a bad day at the office. We are here, man. It's Friday. The weekend is here, so we once again bring you the Mark and Neanderthal Weekend Movie Pick. This one goes back to 2010. I saw this in the theaters, and I came out, I was like, damn, that was a good movie.
Yeah, and being from Boston, it was a big deal for us because not only was it Marky Wahlberg in that movie, but it was about Mickey Wadd and Dickie Eklund.
Yeah.
Which is...
The Fighter.
It's called The Fighter. And it's a biography loosely based on Mickey Ward, but really more about Dickie Eklund.
Yeah, let's get the plot.
The Fighter stars Mark Wahlberg as Irish Mickey Ward, a boxer who's trying to escape the shadow of his older boxing brother, played by Christian Bale. As Mickey climbs into title contention, family drama escalates like crazy. By the way, his mother in the movie is super annoying and kind of skanky, but she did win an Oscar.
Yeah,
she did.
Here's the thing about Mickey Ward. He's an afterthought when it comes to boxing, for the most part, with the exception of the three greatest fights of the 90s. And they are Mickey Ward, Arturo Gatti, who's no longer with us. But if you are a boxing fan, you already know about that trilogy. If you're not, that is Mickey Ward's claim to fame. The other thing is Dickie Eklund was the subject of, do you remember High on Crack Street or Crack in America? It was a thing that was on HBO.
Uh-huh. And yeah, it was about the crack problem in Massachusetts.
In Lowell, Massachusetts, which is what Lowell was mostly known for. It's kind of a pit. It's kind of a downtrodden area. And Dickie Eklund was a great representative of that era of Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yeah, Melissa Leo, by the way, plays the mom, and she did win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress.
She's awful.
Here's a scene where she and this horrendous pack of sisters of Mickey Ward's, they come to Mickey Ward's girlfriend's house because Mickey's been staying there, and the family thinks that Mickey is now ducking them.
Why are you hiding from us, Mickey?
I'm right here. I ain't hiding from nobody else.
All we ever wanted for you was to be world champion.
Mickey's a grown man. He can think for himself.
Shut your mouth.
Skank. Don't call me skank. I'll rip that nasty hair right out of your head.
Mickey is my dad.
What did I just say to you?
What did I say?
It descends into a brawl on the front porch of a rental house.
And Mickey and Dickie go. Mickey goes out the back window and runs away. There's all kinds of stuff going on in this movie.
You know what? Christian Bale is phenomenal. He won an Oscar also for Best Supporting Actor.
Yep.
Amy Adams, who plays the girlfriend, was up for the Best Supporting Actress award that Melissa Leo won. So it's loaded with great performances.
It is arguably the best boxing movie of all time, and certainly the best boxing movie since Rocky.
Boxing scenes are terrifically done, and I went back and watched a bunch of the fights on YouTube, and I was like, that's just the way they did it in the movie.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really good. Is it Train to Busan good? Hell yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. And again, if you watch after watching the movie, then go to YouTube or even before watching the movie and watch some of the rounds of Mickey Ward and Arturo Gatti. It is boxing brutality done in a beautiful level.
Yeah, no, it's great stuff. So The Fighter from 2010. I had to drop the dog off, Patch, at a kennel recently, you know, or what they called it, a pet resort.
Right, but, sure. Yeah, it's a kennel.
But, you know, she boarded for 3 nights, and I can get into the reasons in a little bit, but it was difficult. It was the first time ever. I was doing it on a Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night. And I was going to pick her up on Tuesday, and I was talking to the girl who brought her, and I was like, you know, I can come back Monday if I need to. Come back early. Just let me know if there's a problem.
And now you know I never take vacations and go anywhere because I don't want to board my dogs.
It's a tough thing.
Especially when they're rescues, because when they're rescues, if any time you bring them anywhere and you leave them, and they feel like they're being abandoned. You're getting rid of them again.
See, I felt... I felt lousy as I drove away, and I was like, well, I could call them every day and see how she's doing.
Oh, you're that guy.
I was like, no, I'm not going to be that guy.
You're a helicopter dog owner, is what you are.
Yeah, right. I'm sure. See, we have Steve on, who's done this kind of work.
Right.
Steve, you with us?
I am.
All right. So, Steve, how crazy do owners get regarding their dogs when they get dropped off? Or I think you did the in-home pet sitting type thing.
Correct. And I think the craziest situation I ever had was where a client wanted us to microwave the food for 11 seconds, not 9, not 12, but 11 seconds.
Sure.
And then it had to be placed on a certain tile in the kitchen.
Sure.
Facing a certain way.
Yeah, you got a feng shui for the dog. That's absolutely. And this is the thing. You go into people's homes and do this, right? This is a little bit different than the pet resort thing. What is the most annoying thing anybody has ever done with regard to, like, after you've done and said and pet sitted their pet, did they ever come back to you and say, what did you do? My pet is traumatized.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had people come back and they say, what did you do? I mean, our dog won't eat in this position. He'll only go over here. And a lot of it is that, you know, the sitter that we had would put the food down and not where they wanted it. But they ate.
Right. Eventually they're going to eat.
Which is worse.
I think a lot of it is training the owner and not the dog.
Sure. Which is worse, dog owner or cat owner?
Cat owner.
All right. Which is worse, dog owner, cat owner, fish owner?
Cat owner.
Dog owner, cat owner, fish owner, horse owner.
Horse owner.
Horse is more expensive.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, horse, you get a lot of money into that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yep.
Dog owner, cat owner, horse owner, fish owner, bird owner.
Absolutely, and without a doubt, bird.
Why? Do the birds backtalk you? Is that why?
No, I mean, people will put down instructions of, you know, you have to speak to the bird for an hour during this period of time.
An hour?
With the bird. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
They talk to their birds. I mean, they have conversations, full conversations with their birds.
Has the bird ever divulged something that you, like, maybe you took a phone call while you were at the house, and then they got home, and like, let's say Mark's a bird owner. He gets home, and he goes over to his bird. Okay, Polly, what happened? Hey, do you know Steve's a cocaine dealer on the side?
Nothing like that, no.
All right.
I have had a conversation repeated with my wife.
Excellent. Has a bird ever sworn at you?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Steve, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Not a problem, guys. You guys have a great day.
All right, be safe. There you go. All right, yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't board my dogs.
Yeah, see, I boarded the dog because my wife was going out of town for something, and it would be very difficult for me to take care of the dog having to come in here because she's used to a completely different schedule. Because my wife is taking care of the early morning stuff, and I figured, you know what? We're going to try and go away in July. We're going to have to board the dog at some point. Let me give her a warm-up. 3 nights shouldn't be too bad, and she's actually fine.
All right, Well, I have so many special things. Like, my dogs have special needs. You know, Ace is kind of nuts.
I know. You got to microwave the food for 11 seconds.
Well,
I know, Paul.
I will tell you. You have been on the phone with me when I've been down on one knee feeding Lemmy by hand.
You know. So if you're one of these people who actually works in the kennel. You know, just
yeah, I want to hear from a kennel person.
If you got any other stories like that, it's 480-470-KSLX.
Like a pet hotel person, somebody like that, give us a call.
It is time for another edition of Mark and Neanderthal, Consumer Advocates. letting you know about the latest phone scam.
Yeah, we get these all the time.
I can't even believe that people would fall for this one. But
well, if people didn't fall for it, it wouldn't work.
Here's how it goes. You get a robocall at your house.
All right.
It tells you a box of drugs and money being shipped has your name on it and has been intercepted. The call then prompts you to press 1 to speak with an agent who asks for your bank information.
Now, I will tell you, I know somebody who shall remain nameless who actually did have drugs sent to them from another country. And what happens is it does get intercepted by the DEA, and they send you a little letter with a little check on it. And then the box is sent to you in that package empty with an explanation as to why it's empty, because they seize it. The box makes it to you, but it's an empty box with a little note inside that says, by the way, we have intercepted these drugs.
Yeah, I mean, whatever happens, nobody's calling you asking for your bank information
over the
phone. If it was me, I'd be tempted to hit 1 and speak to an agent and be like, yes, my account number starts with letters. It's F-U-C.
You know. Here's my account number. 1, 2,
yes.
3, 4.
Your mother is a stinking whole. You know, it's something like that.
Yeah. Just screw with them.
This is a mess. Why would you ever fall for that?
You press 1 and you go, you sit there and they go, hi, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I understand you guys have found some drugs and they're being sent to my house. Yes, they are. Can you hang on 1 second? And you just put the phone down and walk
right,
away.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
There's a million ways to screw with them if you feel like taking the time. But just know that's out there.
Mark and Neanderthal, dumbass of the day.
Yeah. So Stephen Alford is a 47-year-old from Round Hill, Kentucky.
Ah.
He's a very busy boy this past Saturday.
How so?
Less than a week ago, Stephen was driving on the Bluegrass Parkway.
Which I think would be in Kentucky. It makes sense.
Yes.
Synergy.
Around 12:30 in the afternoon, testing the limits of his 2015 bright yellow Ford Mustang. That's a noticeable vehicle.
Yeah, won't drop any attention at all.
Yeah. And that makes sense because Steve's last name is Alford. All Ford, man. He's got Ford right in his last name.
I see what you did there. Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Stephen was pushing that car so much, police started getting calls about a man driving insanely fast on the Bluegrass Parkway. I will bet that's what it sounded like. And he was driving insanely fast.
Okay.
As they started the chase, police clocked Stephen at 143 miles per hour.
Well, what we've learned there is that a Ford Mustang will do 143 miles an hour.
More than twice the 70 miles per hour speed limit.
So that's aggravated speeding or criminal speeding, if you will. That's an arrestable offense is what that is.
It's a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it took miles and miles and miles. But finally, Stephen pulled over and gave up because he ran out of gas.
Oh,
which is awesome! Don't start a police chase if you're under a quarter a tank.
I was just going to say, if you can do 143 miles an hour, just remember those tanks aren't very big. Your gas mileage might suffer
exactly.
a little bit,
just a little bit.
Not the most economic driving style.
No, and even still, Stephen did refuse to get out of the vehicle for police so they could arrest him. They did help him out. I would have loved to help at the same time.
I would think they probably helped him out with vigorously yes. helped. Him out.
So check out the laundry list of charges.
All righty, let's go.
Exceeding the speed limit by at least 26 miles per hour, fleeing or evading police, reckless driving, 4 counts of wanton endangerment of police officers, driving too fast for conditions, improper passing, obscured license plates, resisting arrest, and finally, he was driving on a suspended license, which is awesome. Yeah. Stephen ran the table on that one.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're thinking, God, this is an incredible story. Just unbelievable. I didn't know they had cars in Kentucky. They do.
Yeah.
And
but they apparently don't have any red lights.
Stephen Alford was driving one, and that made him the Mark and Neanderthal dumbass of the day.
We think that was a beautiful story you just told.
And it was sponsored by Roadrunner Harley Davidson, now open at 159th Avenue and McDowell in Goodyear. there are so many shortages going on right now. Lumber, steel, plastic, all kinds of materials. But what you're going to mention another one?
I just would like to say personally, the struggle is real. I experienced the shortage of this item yesterday.
Yeah.
And I, it cost the retailer another $150 in sales.
Yeah.
Because I was going to buy an air fryer so that I could make a healthy dose of
chicken wings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is a shortage of chicken wings going on right now. These are not the dark ages. We're not cavemen.
What is this, a third world country?
So.
This is America, damn it.
Ken Barrows stepped up and said Barrows Pizza will give you guys some gift cards so people can get some chicken wings at Barrows restaurants. So we present to you wings and wings.
Yeah, because who doesn't need a little dinner music provided by Sir Paul McCartney and his notable band Wings
yes.
when consuming
chicken wings?
Wings.
Yeah. So $25 gift card right now and a Wings CD will be yours if you're calling number 7 at 480-470-KSLX.
It's Mark and Neanderthal's Wings and Wings.
Well, this shortage of chicken is really, it's very bizarre. It's one of the main causes was heavy winter storms. They had to shut down production in some ways. The pandemic, obviously, and shipping
yeah.
ties into it. But yeah, the problem with chicken wings is you've got two wings, which is actually, you know, like if you're ordering wings, it's actually four pieces because you got
the drumette and then the flat.
Yeah, the wingette or the flat
yeah.
is that part. And then the drumette's the one with the more meat. Of course, you got the wing tip also, but that's also a shoe. So that's not important right now.
Yes, exactly.
And that's not really that wouldn't qualify as a wing.
No, because you really only eat the tip of that, like the crunchy yeah. tip of that, just for something crunchy
so
in
when,
your mouth. But
when you eat a chicken wing, you're actually eating half a wing. Whether it be the wingette or the drumette.
Depending on how you make it, because,
yeah.
you know, they do sell
yeah,
chicken wings in a whole.
Too.
They do keep
yep.
in a whole segment. But when it's all said and done, you really only get two per chicken. So let's talk about the wing per chicken ratio.
Yeah. If you're going to a place and ordering wings and you want a dozen, you need at least three chickens.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. Whereas you can get two breasts out of one chicken. Technically, anatomically, it's one breast.
But they split it, so it counts as two.
Yes. So you can get two per chicken as opposed to only, you know, two full servings, two full portions
yeah.
per chicken as opposed to one third of a portion from wings.
It might have been why we ate leg quarters when I was a kid, because we would buy the bag of leg quarters where it'd be a bunch of leg quarters because they were cheap because it's dark meat and the dark meat is cheaper than the white meat.
Yeah, I've never been crazy about the dark meat.
Oh, love me some dark meat, man, especially chicken thighs.
I don't like
chicken
thighs.
Oh, the chicken
thighs. My wife will do that occasionally and sort of dress them up in a way that will you know, hide it enough for me that I like it. But
no, the
I'm
chicken
a huge
thighs
fan.
Are yeah. are the truth right there. If you're a fan of the chicken,
yeah.
I'm the dark meat versus white meat. The problem with chicken breast is you got a small window. If you undercook it, it's pink. You know, it's very moist, but it's pink and it's bad for you. And if you overcook it, it's white and chalky, and it just disintegrates and stuff like that. It's not like
undercooked is worse. In my
well,
mind.
Yes. Well, it's not yeah. good for you. It's bad
nasty.
For your stomach, and you
yeah.
get bacteria and stuff like that.
Squiggly. Yeah.
Guido?
I'm just laughing. I totally agree. Chicken thighs are the way to go. We've stopped buying chicken breasts completely.
Really?
Ashley does not like chicken breasts. Like, it takes too long. The ones that we liked were too large. The chicken breasts would take way
too long to cook.
Yeah.
I get that.
And you can't overcook chicken thighs. They just taste delicious.
Well, that's because they're greasy AF.
Well,
they're as greasy as greasy can be.
There's fat in there that's good for you.
Yeah,
that's the good stuff.
I love chicken thighs. I'll do chicken thighs. I'll cook up a bunch of – I'll just bake them, bake up chicken thighs, then toss those in buffalo wing sauce when I can't get chicken wings, which is what I'm going to have to do this weekend because I went to buy myself an air fryer at a big box store, and they also have food there at that big box store.
Yeah.
They didn't have any frozen chicken wings.
No reason for the air fryer.
I was SOL. Cost
yep.
them another $150 in sales is what that
yep.
did.
So the chicken wing shortage is hurting everybody.
Yes.
The chicken shortage is hurting everybody.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is very real in this situation. And thanks to Barrows Pizza for helping us out, trying to end this wing shortage this week with wings and wings.
Hey, cool. Right on, boy.
Listen to Mark and Neanderthal when you get
pretty
to work.
Sure they're illegal.
With the free KSLX app. 100.7 KSLX.